The Salvation Army welcomes you to their Sunday morning worship program. We're confident that you'll be uplifted as Captain Jay Spaulding of the Salvation Army presents today's program. Here's Captain Spaulding.
Good morning. We are going to look at Joshua chapter 22, and we'll stay in verses 1 through 5, but we'll move around a little bit. And I'm so excited about this scripture. It's something that has been on my heart for a while, and trying to figure out how we are to be obedient, and when we are obedient with our whole heart is what we want to talk about today. In chapter 22, verse 1, it starts off and it says this. It says, Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh and told them, "You have done as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you have obeyed every order I have given you. During all of this time, you have not deserted the other tribes. You have been careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God right up to the present day. And now the Lord your God has given the other side of the tribes the rest of the promised land he promised to them. So go back home to the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you as your possession on the east side of the Jordan River." Before we get into verse 5, I kind of want to give you a little bit of a backstory here. If we go back all the way to Joshua chapter 18, you get where all of the different tribes are starting to get the rest of their land. They're starting to divide these out, the other seven tribes. Before this, the tribes of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad had been given the east side of the Jordan River. If you know your geography, the east side of the Jordan River is not where Israel is today. Everything is on the west side of the Jordan River. So the east side is a land that doesn't belong to Israel anymore, but this is a land that was given to them, and that's where they were to go back. And it, currently where they are in chapter 22, they are sitting in an area in a land called Shiloh. Shiloh is this area where once they had come over the Jordan River, once they had brought the Ark of the Covenant through and the waters parted as Moses had parted the water, they got over to the other side. They built this ring of rocks to say this is where the altar will be placed. This is where the altar will be. We will make a marker to the Lord saying that we will worship him and we give him thanks for what has been done. And right out of that area in Shiloh is where they set up the tabernacle. And the tabernacle stayed there for hundreds of years. And we are pretty sure about this in the theological world. And the reason why is because the area that is leveled out to where the temple could sit is perfectly the perfect size for the tabernacle area to be set up, as well as on the other side of this little plateau is hundreds of thousands of these broken dishes, of these ceremonial broken dishes. And what was so important about that, why we know that that leads to knowing that this is the place where the tabernacle was set up, is because once a ceremonial dish was used, it couldn't be used for anything else. So they would literally take it to the other side, smash it, and throw it over there so that it could not be used for any other rituals, any other common use, because this was just meant for God. And after it was used for him, that there wasn't anything else that it needed to be used for, because that was the most important thing. It had fulfilled its purpose. And it's kind of like us. Our purpose is to serve God with all of our heart, to be obedient with all of our heart. And if we do that, then we have fulfilled our purpose, and God will bring us home, and God will call us to our home in heaven that he has prepared for us. But let's go back and look at verse 5 now. And it says this, "But be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave you. Love the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways. Obey his commands and hold firmly to him. And serve him with all of your heart and all of your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them on their way, and they went home. As they were leaving the area, they got to the area of the Jordan River. It goes on to tell you about this in the verses 10 and on. And when they got to the area of the Jordan River, they realized that that once they would cross this Jordan River, that there would be this natural barrier there, and that they were afraid that as generations would pass on from one generation to the next, that things would be forgotten. You know, and we do that. We forget some of the things that have happened in the past, and we want to make sure that they're recorded down in our history books. They're recorded down through stories of our fathers and grandfathers and great grandfathers. But these three tribes that were leaving and going to the other side of the Jordan River, this land that had been promised to them, they wanted to make sure that they were not forgotten about, because this Jordan River would cause a natural divide between them. And they wanted to make sure that their future generations were not forgotten about, and that they were rightful heirs to the promised land, that they were a part of the tribe of Israel, that they were a part of this nation, this beautiful thing that God had raised up. And so by this area where they had built this first altar, they began to build an altar that is huge. It says in verse 10, "But while they were still in Canaan, and when they came to the place called Gilathith, near the Jordan River, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stopped to build a large, imposing altar." The large, imposing altar was astronomically big. You know, I was reading a little bit about this because it just stood out to me. Why do this? And you can see all throughout the Bible, whenever they want to worship the Lord, whenever they want to make a marker to the Lord, a lot of times they would take 12 stones representing the 12 different tribes, and they would build an altar. They would build an altar even before there were the 12 tribes, an altar big enough to sacrifice an animal on. And a lot of times these were goats or sheep or even bulls or oxen. So you can imagine just that size of how big an altar would be. And they wanted to make it much bigger than that. And so when I was looking at this, when I was studying this, it realized that these stones were so big. These stones were so huge. It was taking several men to carry them at a time. They would dig these out and bring these up and set up this huge imposing altar that would remind the people of Israel, to remind the people that were still in Canaan that they are a tribe of, they are some of the tribes of Israel, and that they should be able to have a place to worship as well. So this happens, and they see this beautiful thing going up, and they think the rest of the tribes of Israel are getting livid. They hear about what's going on. This altar is taking days and days to build, and they've run to them. They run to these other tribes and like, "How is it that you just left and you've already forgotten who the Lord your God is? That you have already forgotten that this is the place to worship, and you're already building an altar to a false god?" And they said, "No, you don't understand this at all. We want to show that because we love God with all of our heart, because we are so obedient, and because we want to make sure that you all remember and that our generations remember that this will stand the test of time, that this will be the place, this will be the marker to say that there is someone on the other side of the Jordan. There is someone out there that still worships the Lord. There is someone out there on this side that needs to come home when it's time, that needs to come here to worship, or that needs to make sure that they are remembered as well." And you know, a lot of times I think we forget about that. We focus so much on us here in this area, in this country, and even in our town, and we think about that we're all that matters. There are people far and wide that are worshiping the Lord. There are people far and wide that need to hear the word of the Lord. There are people in our own homes or in our own neighborhoods who need to hear the word of the Lord. But it's up to us to have this obedient heart. It's up to us to be like these other tribes and say, "You know, I will make this sign. I will make this stand, and I don't care who sees it. And matter of fact, I want everybody to see it. I'll make it so big that we live our life with such obedience to the Lord that when people see this, they know that there's something up. And they have to ask. They have to find out about it." It says in verse 5 again, it says, "But be very careful to obey all the commands and all the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God." Wow. If we just start with that, if we love him, this love here is a love that's higher than any other love. This love is a love that is deeper than the love that you have for your wife or for your child or for tacos or for your dog or for, you know, any of those things, or even your car, your money, your whatever it might be. This love is the highest, greatest, most powerful. This is that agape love, that this love is so perfect. Love the Lord your God with that kind of love. Here's the second, one of the hardest. Walk in all his ways. Not the ways that you want to walk, not the ways that the world wants you to walk or your family wants you to walk or you think you need to walk, but walk in the ways of the Lord. Walk how he wants you to go. Live the life that he has planned out for you. It means be in his will and no one else's. That is a hard thing to do because living in a world today where it's all about me, myself, and I, as Biz Markie told us back in the day, but it's not about us. It's about walking in the way of the Lord, living in his will and not our will. Living in the will of the Lord means that everything that we have, big, small, and in between, we bring before the Lord. We bow down before him, say, God, what do you want me to do with this? God, how do you want me to deal with this? God, how can I serve you? How can I live for you? How can I be your hands, your feet, and your heart, and your voice? Lord, tell me how to do that. And then it says, serve him with all of your heart and all of your soul. And I think this is the hardest one. And this is the one that I'll touch on probably last. And because I want you to hear this, this is the most important thing. We can understand loving God. And we can even understand that God has a will, a plan set out for us. But I think where we fall flat the most is with this short little word called all. We in the church want to give a lot, and we want to give probably more than some others. And we think that we are giving a ton to God. But what this scripture is telling us is that, first of all, our God is a jealous God. Our God is a God who wants all of us. Spray can of Lysol. If you've ever seen that, if you've ever seen the commercials, and they spray it on toys, they spray it on trash cans or whatever, and it says it kills 99.99%. And it usually shows a nice little illustration up on the screen or wherever you're looking at, and it says it kills off all these other critters and whatever else is on there, is all these germs, and it leaves just a little tiny speck of something. See, God says, I want all of it. Not 99.99. I want all. I want 100%. I want everything that you have. I want all that it is. I want you to serve me with all of your heart. That means when you're at work, you're serving me. When you're at school, you're serving me. When you are in your house, you are serving me. When no one is watching, when all the doors are closed and you think you are all by yourself, I want you serving me. I want all of you. It's so hard for us to understand that concept that he wants all of us. And the reason why I think it's so hard is because we are a selfish person. We are a selfish community. We are a selfish world. But God says, no, that I am selfish and that I want all of you. I've created all of you. I love all of you. And I sent my son to die for all of you. So I want you to serve with all of your heart for me. Over the next week, we are in the midst of packing up, and we are in the midst of moving to our next place, and this kind of breaks our heart because we have found such a beautiful home here in the Mountain Home Twin Lakes community. And a piece of our heart will stay here as it has in every appointment that we've been in. And know that we love you all very much because God loved us first. And we want nothing but the best for the Twin Lakes community because God wants nothing but the best for you. I pray that you continue to serve him. I pray that you will continue to love him. And I pray that when you don't know where else to turn, you don't know what else to do, and you can't figure out what is next, that you fall upon your knees and you cry out to the Lord your God, and he will say, come to me. I'll give you rest, and I'll want you to serve me with all of your heart. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to the Salvation Army Sunday Morning Worship Program. The Salvation Army invites you to visit them for church services. Sunday school starts at 9:45, and Sunday morning worship is at 11 a.m. Kids Club is each Wednesday afternoon at 3:45 p.m., and the Salvation Army will gladly pick up and drive home participating children. For more information and to arrange for your child to be picked up, please call 424-5708. The Salvation Army works every day to make life better for countless people in our community. Your tax-deductible donations help them provide nutritious meals to older adults and families, help people overcome addictions, provides emergency assistance, and so much more. The Salvation Army Thrift Store offers great bargains on quality clothing, furniture, appliances, electronics, and more. And remember, you're invited to join them for worship. The Salvation Army, Highway 201 North in Mountain Home.